If people say I'm a dreamer, that would be a true thing. I dream more often than I do things. Some days I wonder, what do you dream?
It's a beautiful day in the Gulch. It's the dream analysis episode. We're going to put on one of the many masks we're known to wear. Our Jungian masks.
Ah, yes. We're sort of ripping off the podcast, This Jungian Life. Shouts out to Joseph Lee and
his friends and colleagues.
Yeah.
Delicious. Pure deliciousness. Yeah.
Pure deliciousness.
So, you know, we've asked for favors from listeners before. This is by far the most submissions to anything we've ever, like...
There's been a lot?
Yeah, we have a lot to go through. I don't think we'll be able to go through everything in one episode.
Let's dig right in, because I have a few, too, in mind. I think most of them went to your messages, yeah. But I have some, too.
So I'm just going to start from... I'm going to do my DMs first, and I'm just going to go in order of when they were sent.
And we're not going to dox anyone.
And then we're not going to dox anyone.
But should we do
unless...
the... Unless we feel like it would be funnier if we dox them. But also, we could do a sort of soft dox where we do the Jungian sort of introduction where, like, the This Jungian Life podcast introduction where they describe the person, did it, like... vaguely.
Well, some of these,
but they don't say their name or
some of these people I really don't know who they are at all.
Okay, let's just not do that then.
I know that, like, some of them, it's like, oh, this person, I've seen them around on Instagram, they're a fan and they're a listener, but I their profile's locked.
They were a fan and a listener and they were in a rut in life and they just had this wild dream and they wanted to just see what it meant.
All right. So, dream number one.
Dream number one.
In college, I worked at a Panera Bread, and I had a dream that I was at work. I dreamed that I worked a whole shift, and everything was unremarkable, until I looked at the sprouted grain rolls on the pastry rack to find one had a little sprout growing out of it. I fetched my manager and asked him, "Is this normal?" To which he turned to me and said with an empty, somber stare, "It's not." And then I woke up. So I think there's a lot going on here. I think, I mean, the setting is obviously relevant, but, and I think the setting is relevant because I think the real meat of the dream is the sprout growing out of the bagel.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's where, like, the real symbolism lies. So, but there is also the response of the boss... and the sort of going to the boss and asking them for guidance when really you already know. The
yeah.
dreamer knows already that it's a strange occurrence.
Yeah.
So that also is a symbol too.
Yeah, that's
but
interesting.
But like of the bagel, what do you think is the symbol of the...
It's the sprout growing out of it.
The seed sprouting from the... Yeah, but what do you think it means?
I think it means that the dreamer already had the sense that they were... they had kind of goals and a potential outside of working at Panera Bread.
Yeah.
And that, like, sprouting out of the bagel embodies that, is what I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think asking your manager, is it normal, is interesting. And I think it's... Well, I guess it could change depending on who your manager is. But I feel like a lot of times that when you're working at, like, a Panera Bread, your manager is just, like, somebody who happened to work there for 8 months longer than you did. You know, like, it's not necessarily,
yeah.
like a boss leadership figure, but it could be.
Yeah, that's an issue with the dream analysis because, like, we're not real analysts, so we don't actually know what's going on in the person's life, and we don't know what their personality is necessarily if we don't know them personally, and we don't know like what they're experiencing in their life at that time.
Yeah.
So,
but what we can do is draw from the archetypical symbols.
Yeah.
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 From the collective conscious, unconscious.
Yeah. So I would say like, you know, yeah, the bagel is sort of a symbol of like infinity in that it's a circle.
Yeah.
And the sprout is a symbol of
potential
and new beginnings.
The bagel's also like a potent ferment because it was able to give birth or life to this sprout.
Yeah. And the authority figure is sort of a symbol, maybe even a symbol of the self.
I think the authority figure is a symbol of the self too.
Where it's like, it's sort of asking the self, am I allowed to grow and move beyond this?
Yeah, and the self
and
is
the self is a little
permission.
Bit scared. They're like, is that normal? They're just as confused as you are.
Yeah.
So it's about like maybe giving yourself permission.
But
to move
normal
forward.
Carries a lot of words to it, or normal carries a lot of weight.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, normal. Like, does that mean is this normal to this situation?
Is it expected? Is it
is normal good?
Right. Is normal good is the question.
And they say yes in that. Yes, it's normal for you to want to move on from your job at Panera.
No, the manager said it's not normal.
Oh, the manager said it's not normal. So
the manager maybe is trying to hold
the person back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Janelle went to Five Guys the other day, and we kind of got there at like 4:45 or something, like before dinner shift, and we were sitting near the counter, and this one woman who was wearing a black Five Guys t-shirt made everyone who was wearing a red Five Guys t-shirt gather around her, and she was like, "All right, guys, our goal for today is communication. I want to hear Patty call outs. I want to hear guest call outs. I want to hear Fry call outs. Okay, everybody."
That
Bring
was the huddle?
In. Yeah, that was the huddle. It was just a nice pep talk from the girl who happened to work there 8 months longer than anyone else.
I mean, yeah, that's like a, you know, they sound like they're doing a good job. I bet everyone in that huddle is probably hates them. but they sound like they're not being like, they sound like they have their hearts in the right place. Yeah. Like communication.
Should we move on?
Yes.
All right. This is a long one. And it's vile, according to the submitter.
Okay, brace yourself.
So this person goes, okay.
Trigger warning.
This one's a bit vile, but I'm desperate for an interpretation. It was a gorgeous day, and I found myself on a rooftop of some metropolitan city. New York? I was looking out at the skyline when my eyes were drawn to a large glass structure on the opposite side of the rooftop. As I got closer, I realized it was a massive, incredibly elaborate greenhouse. I made my way inside and was greeted by an assortment of wildly colored caterpillars, all about the size of a small dog. I stood there, enamored with their beauty. I was suddenly struck by a horrible pain in my arm. One of the caterpillars had bitten me. I yanked it off and assessed the afflicted area and was alarmed to see that it was massively swollen. After this encounter, I suddenly found myself in bed. Arm still swollen from my encounter with the larva. Here's where it gets nasty. I poke the affected area, and to my shock and disgust, it burst, spilling a great quantity of various seeds spewed out from the wound.
Various speed.
Various seeds.
Oh, seeds.
Various seeds spewed out from the wound. I ran out of my room, awash in panic, and ended up in the kitchen, where I found my mother doing her makeup. There's a giant gash in my arm that seeds just burst out of, I screamed. She paused for a moment, put down her eyeliner, and in a calm tone said, "You'll be fine," before returning her gaze to the mirror. This is interesting.
Wow.
There's actually some threads that were common to the earlier dream, I think.
The seed being in the place where it shouldn't?
Yeah, and the turning to an
authority
figure that gives you the answer that you already know.
What did the authority figure say in this one?
"You'll be fine."
You'll be fine. Huh.
I also think a caterpillar is a potent symbol.
Absolutely. It's like a seed.
Yeah. Except it's a little, because I think the seed,
like a living seed.
Yeah, it's a living seed, but it also, where the seed just like represents growth and new beginnings, the caterpillar represents metamorphosis, I think.
That's true.
And like, so it's more like transformation, like taking something and turning it into something else. Whereas yeah. the seed is, I think, a more pure representation of growth.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. So, like, the person is, like, in, like, a big city.
Yeah.
And that's where the caterpillars are.
And a greenhouse. And the
a greenhouse in the big city.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe the caterpillar is sort of a symbol for, like, transformation that could occur within that city. Within, like, maybe a literal city if someone is going to move. Or maybe like a figurative big city of like stepping out into something that you've always wanted to do. And then the caterpillars might, like, they're kind of like these entities that exist in this lush greenhouse, in this space, in this city. You know, they're like a symbol of like the transformation that might occur.
I think the greenhouse is important to think about.
Yeah.
Because a greenhouse in the city, that's like an arc or something.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. It's like, maybe not an arc, but it is like a sanctuary of difference that's embedded somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe they already live in the city, or they're already in this place of hustle and bustle and great opportunity.
Yeah.
Yet... They go into this sanctuary to be with this beautiful thing, and they're faced with transformation, yeah. And it's unpleasant.
Yeah, the transformation is potentially unpleasant for sure.
Like the being like impregnated with seeds from a caterpillar is sort of I don't know, it just feels very. It's very clear that the caterpillar is causing the transformation. Or
yeah. Yeah, like the caterpillar is a little bit of a threat in some way. Or it's like you have to like give up a little bit of yourself in order for the potential transformation to occur.
Like no pain, no gain.
Yeah.
And then the older person, the mother in it, says, "Don't worry, you'll be fine." Because they've probably already experienced this transformation and could be a symbol of entering adulthood,
mm-hmm.
or a symbol of entering, passing through some threshold.
Yeah, because I think the mother doing makeup in the kitchen is significant, because that is, unless that was normal for this person's mom, that is an out of place area to be applying makeup.
Yeah, and that could imply someone who's like, it could imply someone who's very busy, like they're like multitasking,
and they're also like putting on the makeup is like, how should I put this, it's kind of like putting on a mask in some ways, or it's like modifying your appearance as like a protective shield.
Yeah, it's for stepping out.
Yeah.
Like maybe if they're doing that in the kitchen, maybe they're also cooking, but also maybe they're only doing that, and like that's a symbol of just like they're cooking up they're cooking themselves up to step out into the world.
Mm. Yeah, because it's about transformation. I think cooking is also transformation,
yeah,
and makeup is transformation too. Yeah. So
caterpillar,
yeah,
transformation, seed transformation,
growth, but
seed growth,
yeah, but which is a kind of transformation.
Well, also you have the greenhouse is a sanctuary,
yeah,
but the kitchen is also a sanctuary. Your mother's kitchen is a sanctuary,
yeah.
So like you got two sanctuaries there.
Yeah, so there's kind of a conflation between safety and risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a I think there's like a tension between safety and risk.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to, like, weigh the benefits of one or the other for the transformation to really occur. But it's okay. But, like, yeah, I think that's... It is important for, again, the authority figure being, like, a reflection of the self, especially because it's your mother where you, like, came from, telling you...
That you're going to be okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. For some reason in this one, I like the idea of the authority figure not being the self, but it could be anything.
Yeah. That's the problem with dream interpretations.
Is it could be anything.
Yeah.
Well, so that person's about to experience some nice transformation, hopefully. Yes, let's move along.
I maniacally opened a bunch of bottles of beer with my horseshoe keychain and then realized I had to drink all the beer.
Oh, okay.
I feel like this is about getting into a certain situation. Like, you're afraid of getting into a situation that you can't, like, live up to.
What do you think is the symbol of the horseshoe?
It seems like that's... Well, that is a potent symbol. It seems like it's something that, like, he actually has in real life that he uses.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I think the horseshoe is... We should symbolically...
Analyze the horseshoe.
Yeah.
Well, the dream itself is, like, yeah, a classic... I've bit off more than I can chew, or in this case, chug.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's getting in over your head somewhere.
Well, yeah, so like...
Or it's like, or maybe it's more like starting things you can't finish.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Like, maybe you have, like, 15 projects.
Yeah.
And you know you're not going to finish any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe the symbol of the horseshoe is a symbol of luck, which could be... is a symbol of hope, maybe. Like, I hope that one of these things pays off.
Yeah. I hope I can at least drink some of these.
Yeah, yeah. I hope I can do... And as much as I can.
I feel like the horseshoe is kind of like a meaningless symbol, though.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't... Like, whereas, like... It's... I feel like it's good luck or whatever. It's kind of an arbitrary signification.
Well, you know, it could be a literal horseshoe... thing that the person has, but if it's not a literal horseshoe thing the person has, then it's definitely a symbol within the dream. But also, the horseshoe, even if it is something that they have, it's an archetype that they have on them all the time. So I think it does hold weight as a symbol within the dream, because, like, there's many things that you could use it, you could, like, over... You know, you could be like, oh, I ordered 50 pizzas or something like that. Or like, I bought too many concert tickets or something. But maybe it has something to do with the notion of, like, chance or luck or something.
Yeah. Like, you lucked into the maybe. Opportunity that you have.
Yeah, and like maybe you're afraid that you won't be able to drink all the figurative beer.
Yeah, maybe it's like about imposter syndrome or something.
Yeah. Could be about imposter syndrome. Could be like
another thing about these dreams, like, in addition to we're lacking context.
It could be a symbol of abundance, too. Overabundance.
Yeah. Like, it's like,
like, maybe
it could be, like... You should just dial it back a little bit.
Well, it could be a symbol of, like, guilt. for like having so many beers. Not literal beers, but like maybe, I don't know.
Like there's
it could
something
be a symbol of abundance
about
and
this
like
exercise
guilt about it.
That's funny because, one, it's hard to interpret dreams in general. Two, there you have to trust that the person is giving us a meaningful context.
There's no context.
Well, the context is what they're communicating to us. Like you have to trust that, because like even like the dream I had last night, like
what was it?
Well, the most memorable part was me, like someone had caught like a small like sunfish, like panfish kind of thing, on a fishing pole, and they gave the pole to me. And then a shark bit the fish that was already on the line, and then I started reeling in the shark, and then I decided to just let it go. But I felt kind of bad that like the shark was gonna be swimming around the ocean with like a fish hook and some fishing line attached to it. But and so like if I was like having my dream, if like two guys were like, hey, you should send in your dream to get analyzed, that's the part of the dream I would send in. But what's missing is the context where like I was on a boat and there was a bunch of people there and this and that and this and that. So
I would say that like the sunfish symbolizes something that you accomplished, a small accomplishment.
Yeah,
and then the shark symbolizes a greater accomplishment, a greater potential for that you could use that first accomplishment for. And then but you choosing to just like be like, no, I'm fine with where I'm at.
That's a good interpretation, but what's missing is everything else that happened in the dream. Like how I was on a boat and there was all these people there and like there was a storm and XYZ. But like that stuff's so much murkier. Like I don't remember the details of the boat, I don't remember what kind of people were there or anything else. Not only that, but that dream happened last night. This dream we just analyzed, this guy sent in a notes app and it was dated January 13th, 2022.
I love that they've been hanging on to it for
so
a
yeah
long
they've been
time.
Hanging on to it, but there's also like there's this transposition of distance, time and distance, and like just the fundamental unknowability of someone else's mind that you have to grapple with.
Well,
when you're doing the important work of
Jungian dream analysis. Well, that's what I was saying at the beginning. I was like, I don't know these. I don't know. You're not even telling me who. Like, I might know some of them, but you're not even telling me who it is.
Yeah.
So really, all I can go off of is the imagery of the dream.
Yeah. anything else you want to say about the beer?
I'm no therapist. Let me see. I was saying like, you were saying like it could symbolize imposter syndrome, or it could be something as simple as like, it could be even literal. It's probably not literal though. I feel like most dreams are not literal.
No.
But I mean, like, so you're saying it could symbolize imposter syndrome, but I was saying it could symbolize overabundance, where it could mean maybe feeling guilt about maybe some haves and have-nots.
Well, neither of those are...
Literal or figurative.
None of them. We haven't offered a single literal interpretation. Like, a literal interpretation would be, like, you're afraid of drinking beer.
You're afraid of drinking beer. All right, next one.
Okay. I had a dream that stores offered discounts for people in improv classes the same way they offered veteran discounts. So, I took an improv class, but in the dream, I was really embarrassed to admit that. I've never looked down on improv. Don't know where my hatred for improv came from in this dream.
That's interesting.
Yeah. This also sounds like a dream about imposter syndrome or like getting yourself into a situation through deceit. And also improv is like it's interesting that it's an improv class discount.
Mm-hmm.
And then he improvised whether or not that he was in an improv class. Like I feel like it's about putting like it, like negotiating a new identity in a certain, like in a new context.
Yeah. It's like, am I lying or
am I improvising?
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of, yeah, it's really cool. That's a pretty trippy dream. Also, I like the idea. I like the idea of them having an opinion in the dream that they don't necessarily hold in real life, but they must hold in real life.
Yeah,
and they just didn't realize.
Well, it might not be that they're disdainful of people in improv classes, but that they are disdainful of deceitful people or or mercurial people, hermetic.
People. Well,
not yeah. Hermes.
Well, I think that. Yeah. What about the symbol of the supermarket?
Oh yeah, that's important too.
What do you think the supermarket would symbolize in that person's life? Is it a literal market?
Cause I think it could a supermarket
could be a literal market.
Yeah.
It's just the setting place for the lie.
Well, it's some kind of transaction. Like some kind of transaction was occurring, because that's a threshold, is when you're checking out at the supermarket.
Yeah,
you're leaving the supermarket to return to your home.
Yeah,
so that's a threshold. It's like it's about negotiating
your
new identity.
Exit.
Yeah, your exit. It's negotiating yourself as you're exiting one spot in your life to another.
Whoa, that's deep. That's sick. I like that a lot. That's really good.
Am I spitting?
You're spitting. That's really good. Yeah. Wow. I really like the idea of, like, yeah. I love the idea of finding out an opinion in your dream. Or maybe, they said that they didn't, they're not sure if they actually feel that way. They never felt that way before. So, like, that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, in the dream he says he was embarrassed to admit it, but then it's in his waking self that he interpreted that embarrassment as looking down or hatred. But in the dream, the embarrassment could come from negotiating the deceit.
The deceit.
At the threshold.
So there's some type of faking it till you make it going on to get the big prize.
The crows are coming back. You see them flying in the distance?
Where?
Like that way.
I'm not wearing my glasses.
Oh, never mind.
Is it a big cloud of them?
No, but it's just kind of a steady trickle. Next
nice.
Stream?
Next stream.
Once I had a dream that I accidentally left a litter of kittens in a box for 7 months.
Oh my god.
When I remembered and opened the box, all of the kittens were okay. They had just grown up.
Schrodinger's cat leaps to mind.
Yeah, but I don't think it's Schrodinger's cat per se. Well, I guess it is in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't you explain what Schrodinger's cat is for people who don't know?
Schrodinger's cat is, it's like, what is it, like a physics concept? Or is it a philosophy concept? It's somewhere like in between, where it's like you put a cat in a box, and it when the cat is in the box, you don't know if it's alive or dead until you look in the box.
Yeah, and so by looking in the box, did you kill it?
Oh, is that the full thing?
I think so.
Whoa, that was crazy.
Because
what kind of bird is that?
That was a mourning dove.
Whoa.
Because, like, you ever notice mourning doves don't coo in the fall, even though they're around all the time?
They stop cooing in the fall?
Seems that way. But I think the thing about Schrodinger's cat is, like, the question is, like, you don't know if the cat is alive or dead until you look in the box. But if you find out it's dead, does that mean you killed it by looking? Or by, like, you know, like, do you have culpability?
Oh, okay. Well, I actually don't think this is Schrodinger's cat
in the dream, though.
No, it's more of like an ADD. Let me put this off for as long as possible and worry about this, and then finally take care of the problem, and it's all fine. within 5 minutes. Like something like renewing the registration on your car. You think about it for 6 months and you worry, looking over your shoulder to see if the police are there every time you drive. And then finally, the anxiety gets so big that you finally go to the DMV and it takes 15 minutes and it was all fine.
I think this kind of dream is actually the opposite of that, I think. Because in this dream, they put the cat in the box and then they forgot about it until they remembered again. And at that point, there was anxiety about it, but they took it out and it was fine. I think this dream is about somebody who has, like, who kind of, like, has control over situations usually, but is finding that if they let go and, like, let go of control, it'll be okay. Because I have the opposite dream.
Really? That's what you think?
I have the opposite dream where...
What's the opposite dream?
When I'm stressed out...
And you find the dead cat?
No, it's not about cats, but when I'm stressed out and I have, I know I have a lot of work to do, a lot of different kinds of tasks that I need to complete, I'll have this dream where I look in a lizard terrarium and there's a new kind of lizard, and I'm like, oh, those two lizards aren't compatible with each other, I've got to do something, I've got to figure out something to do with those lizards, then I'll look away, then I'll look again, and there's a different kind of lizard in there.
Another
a
one?
Third kind of lizard, and it stresses me out. And then I'll look away again. Then I'll look there again. And then now, like, one of the lizards is dead because they got eaten by the other lizard.
Oh, whoa.
So, for me, like, I do have ADD where I do put stuff off, and then it starts to accumulate, and then it manifests in my dream as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
In this dream, this person put something off, and then it was fine.
But I feel like that's also like so many of my problems with, like, maybe dealing with depression and anxiety and stuff, where it's like you will have a very simple task that you need to complete and you'll put it off. I'll put it off for like 6 months and then I'll finally do it, but I'll have worried about it for like 6 months or something like that. And then it's not like the same, but like the feeling of like, oh, I was worried about that, but now it's fine. And I didn't have to worry, you know, because it wasn't a big deal. Things like, I gave an example at the beginning, but like I think it wasn't quite a good example to mirror the dream.
The example you gave was a good example for the experience you're talking about. But yeah, it didn't really mirror the...
Well, because most of the time when there's something that you put off, like, okay, like maybe something like cleaning your room. Like say you put off cleaning your room for like 3 months or something, and you know it's like driving you crazy, and you're like, oh, I need to do that. I need to do that, and then I'll feel better. I need to do that, and I'll feel better. You put it off for a long time. And then you kind of feel extra bad about it because it's making you feel bad, and then you feel guilty about not doing it because that makes you feel worse.
Yeah.
And then you're like, then when you finally do it, it takes like 2 minutes, 30 minutes or something. And you realize you didn't have to worry about it because everything is fine and it didn't really matter. Maybe that's not a good example either. But I'm just saying, like, I like this dream symbolizes that feeling for me really solidly, where it's like in your dream it's like something bad happens from negligence.
Yeah.
But in my life experience, most of the time the stuff that I put off didn't really matter.
Yeah. But it did irritate you.
But it irritated me for a long time.
Yeah, and maybe your irritability gave you more problems elsewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
But this isn't about you and me.
Yeah, without knowledge of the dreamer, all I can do is use the symbol as sort of like a tarot card to analyze my own experience.
Yeah.
But like, okay, so the dreamer thinks I put the cats in the box. What happened? Where'd they go? I forgot. And then they're like, oh no, the cats are dead.
Yeah.
Are they worrying about them for all those months, or do they suddenly remember them?
They suddenly remember, and then it's at the point that, or at least that's what I'm interpreting from the text we have. They suddenly remember, and at that point, it's a brief moment of dread before pure relief.
That's really interesting because it kind of mirrors the classic like I forgot my final thing, but. Usually coupled with failure.
Yeah, there's no payoff in that dream.
So this is interesting because it's like, oh, I forgot the cats. And it's like, oh, they're fine. It's kind of like a, you know, and like the college or high school dream or whatever where you, like, fail your class. That's like a symbol of being, like, stuck in a rut in your life, being held back. But this is like something that the person is caring for, was expected to care for and keep alive, and they forgot, but then it stayed alive on its own.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting symbol.
Yeah, I think the cares is important too.
What do you think it means? What's something that you're expected to keep alive that you can ignore and it will just be okay?
Well, that's a little bit too literal. I mean, I just mean like if you love something, you can let it go sometimes.
Like maybe like a friendship.
Friendship's a great example of that.
Like, oh, I haven't talked to them in 6 months.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I was supposed to go to this. I was supposed to go have dinner and I forgot.
Yeah, they hate me.
They hate me.
But then you run into them again and it's like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else we need to say about the cats in a box?
I think there's a lot more to unpack there, but like I sort of got sidetracked talking about my own anxiety. So maybe I screwed it up. But that's a good dream. I like that one. It's interesting. Because it so directly mirrors Schrodinger's cat. And it's like, I don't really understand what Schrodinger's cat means.
Yeah, maybe it clouded your understanding. I might be misremembering it. But I think there's something about fault in Schrodinger's cat.
I don't remember there being an element of fault. I only remember there being like a question. And the question can only be answered by looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember that there could be fault, but I don't remember that aspect. But like, you know, so what? I'm supposed to feel guilty for being curious in that situation? I should be curious because an animal's life is at stake.
Curiosity killed the cat.
Oh, yeah. But you gotta be curious because the animal's life is at stake.
Yeah.
So, all right. What's the next one?
Last night, I had a dream that Kroger had a thrift shop inside of it, like a Goodwill inside Kroger. I felt something weird in my pocket and pulled it out. It was a dead platypus. Mike Adams showed up in a nearby room and was playing a Weezer song on piano. I had heard the particular song on the radio days before. I assume that the part about the radio means
it's like
actual
in
your waking life. Yeah. You heard the song on the radio. What does it all mean? This is a tough one because it's so much more surreal.
Yeah.
I think. I think dead platypus especially is kind of like a absurdist kind of symbol.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And when there's real people involved, I'm not sure what to make of that either. But I think if we still...
Did Mike Adams pull the dead platypus out of the box?
No, the dreamer pulled the dead platypus out of their pocket.
They just saw Mike Adams there? No, I didn't see I didn't see who the dreamer was. I'm guessing it's David Woodruff.
It's not David Woodruff. But that does seem like a David Woodruff type experience.
Let me see.
I bet you could guess it. I bet you could guess it in 5 people.
Okay. Well, I won't.
Okay. Give it one more guess.
Is it Jared Cheek?
Nope. All right.
I don't want to guess anymore.
I realized I'm the Jared Cheek of Full Side. No, it's not Aaron either. Full Stride.
You're the Jared Cheek of Full Stride?
Yeah. I'm the Jared Cheek to Full Stride's Mike Adams at The Honest Way. Yeah. Like Jared Cheek made a fan video for Mike Adams.
You got to make some TikToks. You got to make some actual.
But it flopped.
You got to make like a viral TikTok.
Yeah. Maybe when I go to you guys' practice. Mm. Anyway, I think the Goodwill and the.
Well, what was the symbol of the supermarket? Because.
Yeah, but.
Do supermarket first because the Goodwill is contained inside of the supermarket.
Well, so obviously this person's a local. So I feel like Kroger. It's funny. I mean, that last stream we talked about how the checkout at the supermarket represented the threshold. In this stream, it's like it doesn't seem like they're crossing a threshold as much as they're in a certain space, like a public space, I guess. And I feel like the way people in town talk about Kroger, it is this like kind of common shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something communal about going to Kroger. Like, the way our friends talk about going to Kroger is, like, they're talking about going to church or something, I feel like.
It's sort of a gathering place against, like, without but intent.
Yeah.
You always run into someone that you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's not like church, then, because people go to church for a reason.
To flex on each other.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why people go to Kroger, too.
No. They go there for sustenance.
Yeah, for sustenance.
For physical sustenance. Not spiritual sustenance. Right. Or social. Just food.
But there is something ritualistic about going to Kroger, and there's something about the sanctuary of going to Kroger, I think. Like the repetition of going to... like
the ritual.
Yeah, the ritual and the repetition seem pertinent. Where it's like, I feel like it maybe if we lived in a different city, like sometimes you'd go to Whole Foods, sometimes you'd end up at a normal grocery store.
Trader Joe's.
Sometimes you'd just pick up your crap at the bodega for the night.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that here.
We all go to the same place.
Yeah, unless we go to Bee Foods for lunch.
Yeah. And if you get your groceries from Bee Foods, you're kind of, I don't know, spending a lot of money.
Which brings us to the thrift shop thing.
Yes,
inside of Kroger.
Yeah. So the secondhand store inside of Kroger. See, like the secondhand store could symbolize a lot of different things. It could symbolize a place where things are given new life.
Yeah.
Or but also could symbolize
decay.
Decay.
But it's both. Because new life comes from decay.
Yeah.
You can't just have constant birth.
That's true. We're constantly dying and being reborn in the moment.
Yeah, you were spitting when you said that. You said there's no such thing as a late bloomer.
I ratioed chance. On... But I think... anyway, I think that there... Yeah, like... So, like, there's, so, within this symbol of community and sustenance, there is a symbol of a space of, there's a symbol of space of recycling.
Yeah. Regrowth. Renewal.
Recycling. So, So what do you make of the dead platypus?
Well, the platypus is dead, which you have to have death to bring new life. But the platypus is also, like, an exotic animal.
It's, like, the craziest animal.
It's the craziest animal. It's made, we think of the platypus as... We don't think of a platypus as being a platypus. We think of the platypus as being made from parts.
Yeah.
Like, we think of it as its duck bill. its furry body, its beaver-like tail.
It's poisonous.
And it has poison in it, too.
It has poisonous claws on its feet.
I don't think, like, its venom is important symbolically, but I do think the, like...
Just the absurdity of the creature.
Yeah, the absurdity of it.
It's kind of like the perfect animal to find in a thrift shop dead. Because it's like... It's like, look at this random old thing. Nobody wants that.
But I think, like, this dream... So we have this, like, random hodgepodge of things. We have Kroger, the site of a ritual and repetition and sustenance. We also have the thrift shop, the site of death and rebirth. And then we also have Mike Adams playing a Weezer song.
Oh, I forgot about the Weezer song.
Yeah. And I feel like a Weezer song... Like, Weezer... Like... That's a band that I feel like is, like, stuck in, like, perpetually stuck in adolescence. Like, that band, outside of the first two albums, has had no, like, creative arc. It's just putting out more of the same crap.
Yeah, it's only, it's definitely only gotten more commercial and worse.
And so, and I think, like, people of all ages, essentially... primarily associate Weezer with adolescence.
Especially the people in the Mike Adams age range.
Especially the people in the Mike Adams.
Who grew up with it.
Yeah, but we grew up with it too, in a way.
Well, we did. I definitely did.
Everybody does.
Well, I mean, like, in, like, the millennial age range.
I think 12-year-olds from 1994 until infinity will have grown up with Weezer. Like, I think Weezer is just, like... like a adolescent kind of music.
It's very appealing to the teens.
So I think, but like, I think Community, Mike Adams as, sorry Mike that you're in someone's dream, but Mike Adams as like a musician and like a community figure. I see Mike Adams as a local community figure.
Absolutely is.
So yeah, it's hard to put all of these parts of the dream together, much like the platypus. Like, I can't tell that. I don't think the dreamer's stuck in adolescence or recycle. If anything, I see the Kroger as a site, the thrift shop in the Kroger, like, because it's inside the Kroger. Like, if the Kroger represents like community and ritual, then the thrift shop represents rebirth through community and ritual.
And and Mike Adams is sort of a priest of community and ritual through music.
Yeah, and the Weezer song might just be incidental.
The Weezer song, like, I guarantee you he likes Weezer.
I think the dreamer probably likes Weezer, too.
Yeah. I like Weezer.
Yeah, who doesn't? I grew up with it.
And but what about the platypus?
The platypus is a hodgepodge, kind of like the elements of the dream.
A hodgepodge.
Even though
I did... surrealist gumbo.
Yeah. Even though I did kind of put all of the things in the dream together, the platypus just seems like kind of a non sequitur, frankly.
I think the platypus is a more important symbol than just a non sequitur. It's like a symbol of...
it's about rebuilding yourself out of disparate parts.
Oh, that could be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense in the thrift shop for sure. Well, shall we move on to the next one?
Yeah, I honestly think we might only have time for one more. Let me see what time it is. And we have so many more dreams to go through.
It's a really rich tapestry of content, like, to analyze, to examine, to ponder.
Yeah, all right, let's do one more. Who's next? Or maybe we'll have time for two.
We could go speed mode, too.
That wouldn't be fair to people or anything.
Yeah, let's take our time with it. Because I'm getting a lot out of it, too. I like being sort of zooming out and thinking about kind of like the bigger picture in life, like the shared experiences.
In one very vivid nightmare when I was a kid, I was in some kind of desert climate similar to Arizona and looking up at a tall rock, probably 100 feet up. I could see the characters from Scooby-Doo, animated as they were in the old TV show. Something was very wrong. Velma was cackling and giving off super evil energy. And Shaggy was really scared. I'm pretty sure he was hanging near the edge of the cliff and close to falling off.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. I really like the idea. I really like the imagery of the cartoons in a real desert.
Yeah. That's imaginative.
Someone asked me recently, have you ever had a desert dream? And I can't remember who or why, but like I was like, yes. And my desert dream also had cartoons in it. It was like I was like hanging out in this desert, and I was hanging out with these little kids, and they had these Mickey Mouse tattoos that could like move around on their body, like the Harry Potter pictures. But that's my dream. We're talking about their dream. So let's see. You got cartoons in the desert. So you have the symbol of the desert. You have the symbol of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Which is like a symbol of maybe like nostalgia.
Well, he's a kid, so he was 6 years old when the dream occurred. Oh, he was
6 years old when the dream occurred.
There was a few times when I was a little kid where I had dreams about a kid's TV show I was watching that became evil and scary a few times. And there was also a few times where, like, there was a scary show on the TV and I would try to cover my eyes, but I could still see the show on TV. So I think there's just, like, children have an anxiety about, like when they have a certain established rules. I think kids have an anxiety when the rules become broken out of their control, kind of. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, that's the structure of their life.
Yeah. The structure of their life is rules imposed by other people.
Yeah.
And usually they break the rules. But when something that they watch is breaking the rules, like a cartoon becoming scary, I think it's frightening.
Well, also the cartoon can kind of have the cartoon has control over the child emotionally for the time that they are watching it. They're enraptured in the cartoon. And it's a source of immense joy. But if something bad happened in it, then they would feel immense bad.
Yeah, joy and bad.
There's like what is the symbol of the desert?
Well, the desert is like, even though like a naturalist might tell you a desert is a rich, diverse ecosystem, I think we think of a desert as being like hostile, dried out, and devoid of life.
People with like, I feel like people with anxiety like to watch the same show over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's like because they know what's going to happen in the show.
Yeah.
So like, but like with in this situation, there's an element of familiarity with the show, but there's like something is happening that is unexpected. Who is cackling? Like Velma. Shaggy is dying.
Yeah, Shaggy's dying.
Shaggy's in great peril. And Velma is cackling?
Yeah.
Which is Velma?
Velma's the nerdy one.
Oh, the nerdy one.
Yeah.
Is that out? That's out of character for Velma.
It would be out of character for any of the mystery gang. Yeah, I think the characters are significant.
Yeah, maybe the characters like probably thing. Symbolize something in that person's life.
Like, yeah, not to get Freudian, but like as a child, like who are the two most significant people in your life? Assuming your parents are together, it's your mother and your father.
So Shaggy's the father,
or Shaggy's the dreamer,
or Shaggy's the dreamer.
Yeah.
Or Shaggy could be a symbol of something that the dreamer cares about and is like, maybe afraid of losing, and Vilma could symbolize something causing that thing to be, maybe not causing the thing to be threatened, but someone who is complicit or sort of kind of entertained by the potential of that loss.
Yeah, it's harder when it's a cartoon character and when it's a child, because I don't really have too much insight into child
psychology
besides what I remember from my own experience of being a kid. But I think it's just a little more simple than the other dream. It's just like, it's scary for kids when rules that are outside of their control are broken in a way that is frightening.
Yeah, because
it becomes like hostile and dangerous.
Like the rule that was broken is like, this is supposed to be like a funny, fun show, but it's scary.
I mean, it and is then, a little, but Scooby-Doo is a little scary.
It gets scary sometimes.
Yeah.
Also, there's always like a secret villain in that show. So like, maybe there's, and also people are always wearing masks in that show. It's another thing to consider.
Yeah.
So.
And Velma is like a kind of like a know-it-all.
Yeah.
But she's always, she's kind of always vulnerable too. Like she always, her glasses are always falling off.
And Shaggy is like the symbol of chill, but also he's always the most scared.
Yes. Yeah. So it's kind of like a, just kind of an, how do I put this? Exaggeration of the roles they already have in the show.
Yeah.
And kind of about like how maybe the extent of rational knowledge like becomes dangerous after a little bit.
Zoinks! I also think a little kid can just have a nightmare.
Yeah. But, yeah, it could just be a nightmare.
Where it's like, what if something, what if like,
what if I was being chased by a monster?
What if I was lost in the desert and I saw Shaggy die and everyone laughed at Shaggy?
I don't know. Why can't, I think little kids actually probably do have interior worlds that are just as
no,
rich.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
No, you weren't.
I'm not kidding. Little kids just have a little nightmare, like where a sandwich talks to them.
But that's still about, like, rules being...
No, I know. I'm kidding.
All right.
Wait, hold on.
Hold on, what?
Are we going to do one more?
No, let's wrap it up. I'm out of steam, frankly.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm out of steam, too.
We just have more... We have more dreams to look forward to.
I gotta like study up because I feel like I started strong and then I started to become confused. But I think you really are good at this. You're really good at this. But also it's important to remember that like you can really come at it from any angle.
Yeah.
And no matter how much you think you've got it right, you don't have it right.
I just sound convincing. That doesn't mean I'm good at it. I dreamed a dream of days gone by.
What's that?
It's Susan Boyle.
All right. Good job.